Grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he has sent the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us forever. Lord, you have promised that you will not leave us orphaned, that you will always be with us through the Holy Spirit, who guides us and teaches us all the things that you taught while you were here on earth, and continue to teach by your loving presence in our hearts. Father, again we pray that you will open our hearts, that we will lock in your promises securely, held there by the Holy Spirit, and treasured as we go about our lives of proclaiming your mighty works and obeying your commands. Father, at our last breath, we pray that you will greet us into our heavenly home with the words, "Welcome, you are loved." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've given it away, but who remembers Pinocchio? Yay! Pinocchio is a fictional character created by Italian writer Carlo Collodi in 1883. Been around that long. He's a wooden marionette or puppet carved by a wood carver named Geppetto. Pinocchio dreams of becoming a real boy one day and is best known for his long nose, which grows when he lies. Walt Disney Productions adapted the story, introducing us to Jiminy Cricket, gave the cricket a name, whose task it is to keep Pinocchio on the straight and narrow. We could say that Jiminy Cricket acts as Pinocchio's conscience. Our conscience is an intrinsic guide that helps us to distinguish between moral safety and moral hazard. Jesus talks about another inner guide whom he calls the Advocate. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." This advocate, friends, is the Holy Spirit. You and I are people of the Holy Spirit. We were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We were born anew of water and the Spirit, transferred from the realm of this world to God's eternal kingdom. With the laying on of hands and prayers, we received the gifts of the Spirit, were anointed by the Spirit, were sealed in the Spirit, and marked by the cross of Christ forever. It's the Holy Spirit who calls us to remember all that Jesus taught. It's the Holy Spirit who calls us to faith. And through life in the Spirit, we're encouraged, strengthened, and led. Saints, it's important for us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit's advances to build faith and power in us. Why? In order that we may proclaim God's gospel of saving grace to others, and to be reassured of it ourselves. We must be guided by our conscience. Luther valued the importance of this relationship between the Spirit and our conscience so highly that when he was instructed by the Roman Catholic Church to withdraw his writings, he replied, and these are famous, well-known words, "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils. For they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen." However, a little caution is necessary. The conscience can sometimes go very wrong. Think of St. Paul. He reacted according to his conscience when he persecuted the early Christians. Throughout history, many people have been massacred in religious crusades, pogroms and jihads, all in the name of truth and in the name of God. Two examples. German Nobel laureate Gunther Wilhelm Grass was a practicing Catholic during the time when Jewish synagogues were destroyed and Jewish people were exiled or sent to concentration camps in World War II. He said he never remembered a single word about the fate of the Jewish people in church or heard a single prayer for them. He did remember praying each week for the Führer and the victory of the German armies. The conscience of the Christians allowed them to persecute the Jews, take away their property, even send them to death camps. Their conscience wasn't being guided by the spirit of truth, rather the spirit of the father of lies, Satan. The second one, Martin Niemöller, sorry for the pronunciation, was a prominent Lutheran pastor in Berlin during the Nazi regime. He played a crucial role in organising the Confessing Church to resist Adolf Hitler's interference in German evangelical church affairs. Niemöller was persecuted and eventually imprisoned by the Nazis, but for too long he remained silent in the face of injustice. His poem, First They Came, was penned from bitter personal experience, and it goes this way. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there's no one left to speak out for me. Even for Christians, it's possible to so dull our conscience that we numb ourselves to the point of silence regarding injustice, bigotry, corruption, exploitation, and worse, salvation. If we're to be guided by our conscience, we must make sure that the spirit within us is the same Holy Spirit promised by Jesus. The Spirit will always point us to the Lord, direct us according to God's word, enable us to witness to the love of God. We must test our inner urgings against the external word of God. We've been promised the advocate. God's Spirit will never contradict God's word. God's Spirit will always glorify God and be true to Christ. The Holy Spirit is often called the shy member of the Trinity. Shy because Holy Spirit always points away from himself. He always points to Christ. The work of the Spirit enables us to believe, to understand, to be strong enough to follow the Lord. The Spirit keeps bringing us back to the real Jesus who loved and died for all people. For sure, Jesus condemned sin. This is very important. Jesus condemned sin, but never, ever condemned the sinner. Very important. Jesus condemned sin, but never, ever condemned the sinner. Jesus ate with tax collectors and publicans, welcomed the outcast, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, cast out demons, restored relationships. It's the Spirit of truth who shows us that grace is more powerful than the law. It's the Spirit who reminds us that the gospel is freedom, not bondage, forgiveness, not rejection, wholeness, not brokenness. It's the Spirit who works in our conscience and alerts us when our conscience obstructs God's will. You see, Satan specializes in high quality knockoffs, you know, like the Rolexes that you buy in Thailand off the street. They look very good, but they're not the genuine thing. Satan cunningly lures a person into being moral and upright, proud and self-righteous. The self-righteous have no need for God. Plenty of people live clean and wholesome lives, yet fall short of God's intention for them. They may follow their conscience, but forget their relationship with God. Whereas Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It's good to keep the commandments, but note that first Jesus talks about loving him. Many people in Jesus' day kept the law meticulously so as not to break the commandments, yet their hearts seemed to be far from God. I fear there's little difference today as people seek to be right according to their opinion, but show little enthusiasm for righteousness. Those things approved of or accepted by God according to his grace, love, and mercy. Jesus wants us to focus more on the spirit of the law than the letter of the law. Saint Augustine knew this well when he said, "Love God and do what you want." If we love Jesus, we'll lead lives in accordance with God's love. The law never makes us righteous. It always condemns us. Paul understood that the law makes us rebellious when he said that the law made sin increase all the more, Romans 5 verse 20. Luther understood it well too. He said, "A good man does what is right by his very nature. What a foolish man that would be who gave an apple tree a book of rules and laws about how to grow apples and not thorns, when the tree naturally knows how to do that better than all the books can describe or command." In the same way, all Christians have it in their very nature to do good and right, more than all the laws can teach them. Now notice Luther talks about our nature. We're always aware of our sinful nature, okay? But in Christ we become a new creation, so our nature is transformed as well in terms of knowing the difference between right and wrong, but even more than that, looking at things according to grace and peace and mercy rather than the firm word of the law. Friends, it's important to do good. It's important to love God and live life with God. It's important to let our Holy Spirit-guided conscience lead us. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we might know the will of God and do it. The Spirit of truth is greater than custom or tradition, common knowledge or common sense. It may be opposed to what our conscience tells us, especially when it's numbed and dumbed by worldly concerns or evil influence, or it may be that the little voice within us urges us to remember Jesus, to recall his words, actions, promises, love, and sacrifice. God hasn't left us orphaned, but sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide, keep us in faith, reassure us of Jesus' presence, and bring us to eternal life. To God be all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.